Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
All right, Jared and Shane here with another edition of the Scope Summer Movie Slam.
We're hitting them all.
Yeah, I think...
Seen all the movies.
We refuse to let any movie pass us, unless it's The Hangover 3 or Great Gatsby. I think we've seen just about every other movie this summer.
Yeah.
And our string of great sneak preview movie exclusives continues with the latest Jamie Foxx, Channing Tatum... Buddy combo president.
Buddy combo.
Movie, we're talking about White House Down.
White House Down, the companion piece to Olympus Has Fallen, which was out earlier this year. If you recall that review, I actually said that one should be titled White House Down, not realizing that there was an actual film entitled White House Down coming out this summer. So it's like I summoned it from the ether, and here it is
here
now
it is.
Landing in on Cinemaplexes across America, June 28th. And we're going to talk about
it. Here we are. And so, it is this is an amazing film. It has got... It's got everything. I mean, I feel like I've got to go into Stefan.
It really is this a Stefan film.
This has got everything. It's got girls throwing flags while planes are bombing.
Okay,
It's got Foxy Baroxy.
A quick warning. Typically, we try not to do spoilery reviews when we see the film in advance of its release. But there's too much craziness in this film for us not to talk about plot details. So, full disclosure, there's going to be spoilers in this one. So
let's
you've been warned.
Let's talk about, let's try to give this thing a succinct summary, Jared. There's a lot going on in it.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have to spoil it in your overview. We could get into that as we talk about it. But give us the general breakdown of this film.
All right. Jamie Foxx is the president. And he's got a plan for world peace.
Doing his best Barack Obama. It's a very...
He's a very hip president.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. He's clearly molded after Barack Obama.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. With a little bit more edge to him, probably. Because, I mean, that's just the Jamie Foxx coming
through. That's Jamie coming through. Foxy Baroxy. That's what I call him.
Channing Tatum plays an ex-military dude named John Cale.
Who is on, he is a Secret Service guy?
He's not Secret Service, but he is Capitol Police or something.
Yeah.
He's on a protection detail for the Speaker of the House, basically.
Yeah.
His dream, though, is to be on the Secret Service so that he can be a hero again to his daughter, Emily. And Emily is a precocious little girl.
Yep. Lives with his ex-wife.
Yep.
And she's got a strange fetish for the President of the United States, like no other 11-year-old I've ever seen.
She's obsessed with politics. She gets news bulletins on her superphone that somehow just instantly plays news clips. She's watching the president arrive through her window. She cannot get enough of this. And boy, she's standoffish to Dad, who she calls John at first, of course, because...
Mm-hmm.
They're not because he missed her talent show, okay?
Yeah.
But things are on the mend when Daddy John produces a pair of tickets to go on a White House tour.
But at the same time, Jared, during that tour, he's also giving, he's going on the job interview of his life.
Yes.
Trying to get a job as a official Secret Service member.
Correct.
Which is a little odd to me, by the way.
And he's interviewing with, he didn't know this, but he's interviewing with, I'm guessing, an old girlfriend?
I think they went to school together.
Okay,
is what it sounded like. It was unclear.
A character played by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
She is the Secret Service...
Leader?
She's some position of power, because she's in there throughout the whole thing. So that sort of throws him off his game, and, you know, he tries to convince her that he's changed and all that stuff, but of course he doesn't get the job.
She knows he's bad news.
So they continue on the tour. Meanwhile, we see a lot of servicemen... Like not military, but you know, janitorial type technicians
setting up shit.
They're moving stuff around, and it's pretty clear that these guys are up to no good.
Yeah.
But obviously nobody else on the security staff notices that there's, you know, 17 people in the president's private
screening room,
swapping out the surround sound system, and for some whatever reason they have wireless microphones on there too. I don't know what. I guess they must do karaoke in there too.
Yeah, of course.
makes perfect sense.
It's Foxy Baroxy. He likes to do a little soul music.
So, cut to the Capitol. And one of these aforementioned service-type people is wheeling a cart right underneath the Capitol Rotunda, and then he abandons it and starts walking away, and kablooey, bomb goes off.
Down goes the dome.
Down goes the dome, the Capitol. But it turns out the Capitol thing is just a distraction for the real action, which is they're taking down the White House.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of people.
And we forgot to list off the buzz-cutted James Woods.
Yes. Oh, I totally forgot about James Woods.
Who is Maggie Gyllenhaal's boss. He's like the super
head
of everything.
He's like the head of the presidential detail. Yep. He's been protecting presidents for 25 years. And as soon as shit
starts
to go down...
He's retiring that day.
Yes. Well, that week. Whatever. He's on his way out. And as soon as shit starts to go down at the White House, he basically they get the president in the Oval Office initially, and then things get worse, and then it's like, okay, we got to move him to the special bunker.
Yeah,
the special bunker,
the bomb bunker where it can survive a nuclear blast.
Yep.
This is the real
the PIOC, the yep. something. I don't know. This same bunker, by the way, also makes an appearance in Olympus Has Fallen, so therefore it must be truthful.
I hope it makes a better appearance than in this, because they didn't really even use it that much.
No. Basically what happens then, at some point James Woods tips his hat, and he is actually working with the bad guys. He shoots all of the people guarding the president, and the everything starts to go in motion from there.
We learned very early that James Woods' son was killed in battle.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Marine, and he was sent off to partake in a mission that was very, very dangerous, and he was sent by the president.
Correct.
So that was a bit of a possible motivation for his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, we also find that he's sick, which they made clear, kind of clear. I thought he was having a heart attack, actually. But he was also very sick, and that was driving some of his behavior as well.
So you've got your wacky rogues gallery of bad guys. You've got the white supremacist dude. You've got the computer hacker guy, because you got to have a computer hacker guy. It's requisite now.
He was very charming and slick for what I would consider to be a computer hacker.
Very confident, very narcissistic.
Yeah.
And you've got...
Jared relates.
You've got a bunch of other generic military types, you know. There were some people who were apparently had been doing wet work, and then at some point the president shut down the program, disavowed everyone, and so these people had to spend time in foreign prisons and whatnot. Okay, so everyone's got a motivation for hating the president. It's because Jamie Foxx is black, too, so the white supremacists hate him. So everyone's got a reason to hate the president. And so they're joined in common cause, blah, blah, blah.
They take over the White House. All the Secret Service guys are dead except for... Chatting Tatum.
He's not even Secret Service.
No, he's...
At some point, he and his daughter get separated, so he has to go and try to save her.
Yeah.
And then everything goes off crazy.
He sort of gets hooked up with the president. She sort of gets put off on her own. Guess what? With some of the bad guys eventually.
Oh, and meanwhile, she has been secretly recording footage inside the White House and posting it to YouTube.
Yep.
And then the media immediately exposes who she is and puts her photo on TV.
Yep.
So, good job there, media.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, when that happened,
I
know we're getting into critique rather than overview,
but
I said there's no way in the world the media would do that, but then I thought, you know what? They probably would have done that because our media is a bunch of assholes,
And it's all about getting the scoop first, and so there.
Anyway.
All right, so, I don't know. Then there's a whole series of action scenes and turns.
Sometimes with the president and Channing Tatum.
Yes.
Sometimes separately.
Yes. Oh, yeah, at some point, Channing, John Cale, meets up with the president. He rescues him, and then they're sort of, you know, buddies for a while, and...
Yeah, it turns into a bit of a Lethal Weapon meets Die Hard.
So much happens. It's really, really impossible to get to it all. So we're not going to.
the end of the day, shit blows up.
Yeah. A lot of bullets, a lot of big body count. Probably a lot of emotional distress that people are going to have to deal with later, but obviously they're not dealing with in this film. They're just kind of relieved to make it through.
If you have seen a action movie cliche, it probably is in this film. Somewhere. There were car chases, there were vehicles shot down with missiles, there were tanks, there was the aforementioned flag twirling.
Mm-hmm. it's in there. I mean, other than the vehicles transforming into robots, that wasn't in there.
I never thought of that angle. Yeah, well, I think it needed a little bit of transforming vehicles.
So what do we think about this movie?
So Jared and I were talking about this on the way out, which we don't like to do, but we both sort of came to the conclusion that there was a point in this film where we both found it to be sort of charming. Like maybe this film is not going to be the bullshit that we thought it was going to be.
It was, I mean...
And it was wrapped up in what? The relationship between the president and John. How yeah. they sort of interacted and...
It was, yeah, it seemed like, okay, this isn't going to be as ha-ha funny as I maybe thought it was going to yeah. be.
Like, you're not going to play the president as a joke.
Yeah. And but, there were a couple of little moments, yeah, but it still felt like it was being played straight. It wasn't going to...
For the most part,
it yeah. was. It was over the top, but it wasn't yet to the point where it was completely incredible.
Yeah.
And then at some point, it went off the rails.
We call that...
go ahead.
We call that the Bruce Willis razor instead of Occam's razor.
Okay.
It's that point in the movie Die Hard
yep.
where it walks the tightrope between being utter bullshit and... just crazy that it works. Just crazy enough that it works.
Okay.
And Die Hard did it perfectly.
Yeah.
Die Hard was the movie that could give you this crazy-ass shit, but it worked because they were true to the characters, and the script was just smart enough to sort of wink at what it was going through.
And they were. It was an 80s film that was limited yeah. in what it could actually accomplish on a technical level.
Yes.
We don't have those limits.
And anymore. It was never done before. It yeah. was a groundbreaking movie that was like, wow, this is the prototype for what a good action movie could be.
So that's it's an apt comparison because obviously people are going to call this, yeah. just like Olympus Has Fallen, Die Hard in the White House.
Yeah, and it is. It really is. It follows many beats of Die Hard. It has a visual look of Die Hard.
Yep. Channing Tatum's running around in his white yep. Tank top.
His name is film. John.
Yep. True enough. True enough.
But he doesn't have as much charisma or acting ability as Bruce Willis. Right. I mean, I like him.
I think he's good. I understand
but
he's why
not,
he's a star.
He's not Bruce Willis no. action level, no. action hero level. No, he's just not so there. Either.
So, again, I want going back to my question, at what point did you think the movie started to go off the rails? Like, it just took a left turn?
I know the exact point when it went off the rails.
I have mine, too, and I'm curious if
so,
it's the same.
And you actually see this in the trailer.
Yep.
There's a point when Channing or John is He's in, I don't know where he's at, but he's in part of the residence. And a big burly guy comes in, mm-hmm. and he's hand-to-hand fighting with him.
Okay.
And the bad guy gets him by the neck and is going to choke him out. And yep. the president comes around the corner okay. with his glasses, without his glasses and a gun. And you learn that he has a little trouble seeing.
Sure, sure.
Barely, it's barely mentioned, but whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's pointing the gun, and John's like, shoot him, shoot him. And then mm-hmm. he's like, don't shoot him. And the president stops. Puts on his glasses,
mm-hmm.
and then John throws the guy, and then the president kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like a weird pratfally, but yet here it is, the president is killing a guy. And for me,
he's never done this before, because he's not a military guy, which was mentioned earlier.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's a bit of liberal fantasy masturbation in this film. We'll get into that, too. but, I mean, that was a moment where it was like, it went from charming to uncomfortable, and then from there, everything was uncomfortable to me. It went off the Willis razor, as we like to say. For me, that was my moment okay. where I was like, this isn't working for me.
I went a little bit longer. For me, it was once they made it to the garage, and they jumped in the presidential limousine, and then suddenly you had a car chase on the front lawn.
And they're doing...
And they're doing whipping donuts.
Donuts around the fountain. Yeah, true.
Dodging gunfire and RPG rockets, yeah. and they can't get out because apparently the gates are too thick and whatever. Yeah. That was the point where I'm like, we are in a different dimension now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was...
where everything is possible.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the point where it jumped the shark. Mm-hmm. For me, that was sort of the point where it lost its focus of tone.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, now they're not going to be... they're not going to follow what they did before, which was almost a legitimate, like, this guy's got to save the president.
Yeah.
You know, like, I kind of liked their relationship in a weird way. The president wasn't too goofy...
But the plot
wasn't too goofy,
yep.
and then it just sort of changed.
And then the limo chase
sealed the deal.
They started getting. That's when the wacky comedy started coming out. With President with the rocket launcher. Yep. I mean, it was the moment itself was funny, but in the context of the film, it was completely wrong.
Yeah, and it was way over the top. Yeah, the movie felt like it was going, in a weird way, it was going to be a smaller action movie. Like, it was just going to be this self-contained thing, but then it turns into Vice President's dying, and
you've got nuclear missile codes that are starting
to come into play.
So not only do you have the Capitol gets blown up, and you actually see the rotunda collapse.
Yep, in a very 9/11-ish.
The White House is largely, it's under siege, and mostly destroyed. Then you have a helicopter attack that is thwarted by air-to-air missiles.
Yeah.
And then you later on, you also have another airstrike that's called in. It's just, it's like once they open the doors and let the cars run around on the lawn, suddenly...
Anything was possible.
Anything was possible. And therefore, there were no limits. And I just think everything just went off the rails. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Over and over and over again. That was the thing. It just kept hitting you over and over and over again.
Kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, and then they blow up Air Force One with the newly minted president. I'm not really sure on the exact terms of the 25th Amendment, but I don't feel like they had actual proof that the president, that the, like, Jamie Foxx was gone.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know.
The news media announced it, so therefore it must be true.
Yeah.
You know, in our Superman review, I talked about Superman being the Sunday where they just kept lopping toppings and toppings and toppings. Well, this one...
We got another one.
This one is like that, except for toppings they were putting on cars and kitchen sinks and refrigerators and sharks.
Some beef jerky.
I mean, it was everything. It was, you know, whatever shred of nuance or subtlety or brains this movie may have had in the first half an hour, which wasn't much. You know, it was walking the tightrope of being a passable action movie that...
And the first half hour was so much setup. I mean, there was so much maneuvering of the pieces to get them where they needed to be before the big set pieces started. There was so much foreshadowing going on that I think coming out the other side and looking back at the first half hour, 45 minutes, I'm not as impressed with it as I was initially.
Probably. Everything.
Everything
you learn about every character comes into play some point else.
So, the daughter...
Yep.
Had her big talent show that Dad missed.
And what was
her
talent?
She did flag waving. And guess what? She goes out on the front lawn at the end of the movie, waves a flag.
The presidential flag to stop the airstrike.
And calls off the airstrike with it.
Give me a break.
Come on.
Or you know, through the entire movie, the thing that you're waiting for is the terrorists are going to find out that the super soldier that's protecting the president is the father of this girl who's causing all sorts of trouble. So you're waiting for this to happen.
Yeah.
How do they find out? After the main bad guy, young bad guy's fighting with Channing Tatum, they're smashing through glass through stories.
Right.
You know, rolling around, glass everywhere, shooting each other. Channing gets away. The terrorist is standing there. He sees an envelope.
Yep.
With his name on it. He picks it up, looks at it, and there happen to be the two White House passes in there with the names.
Now, meanwhile...
And he puts... this super sleuth, it's like the Bloodhound gang here, he's put this all together just like that, and boom, roasted, as my daughter would say.
Let's not forget that Mr. Tatum has been through about a half dozen windows already in this film, so...
He's got this envelope.
The odds are he would have lost this envelope a long time ago. Yeah. Like, probably when he lost his coat.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Or when the pool room blew up with the propane, but yet there wasn't even any fire happening. James Wood walks right in to see what's going on. Yep. I mean, it just...
You've got they're going on the tour, and the tour guide points out a painting of the White House on fire at the beginning of the film. So what happens later on? Literally, Channing Tatum lights the White House on fire.
He sees the painting again.
He's inspired.
And he goes, you actually see a light bulb pop up over his head. It's slightly dim bulb.
Yep.
And then he starts lighting the house on fire, which didn't even do anything. The sprinklers came on and put it out.
It moved a couple of
terrorists.
It just distracted them, I guess.
Yeah, so he could slice one guy's throat and shiv another.
They make a point to show that the president has this Lincoln's pocket watch early in the film. And, of course, later on, stops a bullet. It's just like... Yeah. All these little threads were planted at the beginning, and every one of them had to be resolved.
And the only thread, Jared, that they didn't resolve was the computer hacker who was doing his own thing.
Right.
For some reason.
Right.
For some reason.
We're yelling because we're so excited about
this. So this guy, at some point in this movie, they go and they put plastic explosives on the only underground exit from the White House.
Right.
And so... As the movie progresses, the terrorist, I don't know, or the hacker, if you notice, he's dressed in sharp black clothes.
Yep.
For some reason, he's wearing camel fatigues
at the end. He thought he was going to sneak out and just try to blend in with
the
army.
That's what I thought, but they did not make it clear at all. So, let's say he's trying to sneak out.
Right.
He goes to this plastic explosive.
And we've seen this one already, because our heroes tried to make this exit.
Yep. And he knew it was there.
Yeah, and he had placed it there. So we knew this was there, and yeah, and so go ahead.
So he goes up to it with the key card, he swipes the key card, and he goes, he says something like, oh snap. I mean, they actually say, I think he does say oh snap in the movie, maybe not that point. And then it blows up.
Yeah. Why? We don't know.
Nobody knows. I heard people talking about
He's the greatest hacker ever. He hacked into NORAD and launched a missile that took out the Air Force One, but he apparently messed up the security thing on his door bomb.
And they made it clear that pretty much everybody else there didn't...
Nobody went that way.
Yeah, and nobody else there was technologically savvy. They make a point of it that the main bad guy, James Wood, only uses a beeper.
Yeah.
So who's going to set this up when nobody else is touching your computer? Maybe I'm missing something, but I have no idea why it blew up.
If you're missing it, it's because it's not in the movie.
No, they did not explain
it.
There.
They did not explain it at all. And of course, it's talking about the hacker. You've got magic technology again.
Yeah.
He just plugs his computer in, puts in his 1234567789 password because he's so retro.
Plays his classical music,
and then,
which that might have even happened in Die Hard with their computer hacker. Who knows?
But it's Matt. You know, it's suddenly his laptop is connecting to all the systems in there and counting down to taking down firewalls or something. I didn't really explain that. But.
So this is a Roland Emmerich movie, right?
Oh, yes.
So who is known for Independence Day.
Yes.
One of the movies that I hated.
Referenced in the movie.
It was.
The tour guide said that the White House was blown up in Independence Day.
We chuckled.
So we chuckled, but we didn't know.
We
didn't know the storm we were in for.
he also, what other Emmerich movies are out there?
2012, whatever. Another disaster porn movie. There's a whole bunch more.
There's one movie that I'm thinking of his that I'm blanking out of that made me so angry, and I can't remember it now.
What was the story?
I can't even remember.
Okay.
It was floating around in my head. But
all right.
This is clearly from his mold. The one thing I do want
to... I think he's trying to one-up himself.
Yes, I think so. I think we need to talk about the politics in this movie, too.
Okay.
Because it's very, very apparent to me.
Yeah.
So they sort of set it up as Jamie Foxx as Barack Obama, and the reason why they hate him is because he has a controversial plan of pulling out all of the troops from the Middle East.
Yep.
That's his goal. And the reason why people hate him for that is actually the secret military complex. That's the bad guy, Jared. It's not even the Arabs in this.
That's true.
It's the military complex that just want to have the war. So that's all they're doing is, you know what, maybe that's true in real life. I don't know. But...
You don't be so deliberate and specific in your plotting because it just seems childish.
Yeah, and they make him the voice of reason. Later on in the movie, they try to balance that a little bit by making the vice president be sort of a dickhead. He wasn't really the nicest guy, I don't think. I mean, it wasn't like super apparent, but they're trying to balance it. And then you had the Speaker of the House who was a Republican
who
couldn't vote for it. For this bill, and they sort of played him as the voice of reason in a way. I mean, he wasn't, for the most of the movie, he was like, you know what, he's just a guy that doesn't agree with the president.
Yeah.
Later on, you find out that's not the case.
He's underplaying it.
Yes. And then they also have like a Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh character in the White House who's like a TV news personality that I think is very conservative.
I would guess.
And
the white supremacist guy said, you're the only one who speaks the truth.
And they show him crying, which might be a Glenn Beck reference.
I didn't even pick up on that. But
so
yeah,
they sort of play him up as a pansy. And he gets his in the end. But it's sort of like, I can't wait to see what the reviews are going to be on this, especially in the conservative media, because they probably will have a field day. And you know what? They probably deserve to have a field day, because I found it to be a bit insulting and a little too black and white for what the situation is. It was made black and white, no pun intended, to make the motivations clear, but I think that it sort of insults the way the world really works. That's how I feel about it. I was insulted by it, and if I were conservative, I'd be insulted.
You walk away from that film believing that obviously the filmmakers think that you know, liberal politics are right, conservative politics are wrong, the military-industrial complex is evil.
And everything would be great if you just pulled up out of the Middle East. But who knows? Maybe it would be. I don't know, but
it
wouldn't be.
It's not quite so simple.
No, it absolutely is not.
But of course, you know, in the end, the president's peace plan worked. Everyone's on board.
Yep, everybody turned.
Everyone's on board. Because at the end of this film, you know, after thousands of people are probably dead, and national monuments and treasures have been destroyed.
Yep.
Let's just take a little joyride around the city in the helicopter.
It's just a house, though, Jared.
Yeah, it's just
you
a
can
house.
Burn down the house; it doesn't just matter what's in it.
Smile and no. you know no. some of our best loved colleagues are now dead. But you know what? We're not going to sit here and take a moment to appreciate the weight and the consequences of that. We're gonna get in a helicopter. We're gonna
buzz the tower.
We're gonna do the thing. We're gonna buzz the tower, and everything's gonna be right in the world because it's a fucking happy ending.
And guess what, Jared? Instead of thinking about the weight of the movie, we totally forgot to talk about when the nerdy tour guide came out and dispatched the white supremacists with a giant statue or a metal thing. Because earlier in the movie, the white supremacist was destroying
smashed a precious vase. Yeah. Was not careful at all with the antiquities. Yeah.
And he said some sort of snappy line as he was dispatching him with a big bronze
or brass.
The audience
was laughing. They clearly enjoyed it. I was just like...
I don't think the audience liked it as much overall, because there was weird murmurs as we were walking out, but...
Gosh, I don't even know. I mean, the scripting is just so hacky and infantile. It's like there's nothing clever to it at all.
No,
there's nothing.
It's all been done
there's
before.
There's nothing smart. There's nothing. There's no ingenuity there. It's just. It's all been done.
The smartest part of the movie was showing the president also as a man.
Yes.
And they blew it up. They totally wasted that.
Well, and then there's a good 20 minutes, half an hour where the president isn't even in the film. Channing Tatum says, "You stay here."
Yeah,
and then he stays there,
and he
he's
sound
gone.
You sound a little bit like Barack Obama right there.
Stay right up. Stay right up.
And then he pops up when he needs to
of
save
course,
the little girl.
Because that's how the script wrote.
Yeah.
Because everything is as you expect it to be.
Everything falls into place
everything
when it needs
is
to.
As expected to be. I mean, there's a couple little twists, but...
You know, we're sitting here... Where we're sitting right now is very close to where we were sitting when the movie... When we've got out of Battleship.
Yeah.
And Battleship was a movie we went into thinking we were going to hate this thing.
And it had a couple of redeeming qualities.
Yeah, and there was some dopey charm to it.
Yeah.
That it did a lot of the same stuff that this did, a lot of the cliches. But in the end, there was a dopey charm to it that we rated it a little bit higher.
I think...
This movie doesn't have it.
I think Battleship knew what it was.
Yeah.
At least. It wasn't trying to be the next great, you know, Die Hard type movie. It was a stupid, let's battle some space bugs type movie.
Yeah. I think this movie thought it knew what it was, but it really wasn't what it was. And it didn't do whatever it was doing very well.
I could almost literally hear the quarter stars ticking off as we marched through the second act and into the third act.
I could hear them ticking off for you for every full rotation they made around the water fountain in the presidential limousine. Oh, there's a half star. There's a full star.
I literally was like, okay, and when that whole scene happened, I was like, wow, this is crazy sauce. What are we doing here? And then it sort of recovered a little bit, and then it just started getting crazier and crazier, and I just like, okay, whatever.
I know the movie.
And then there was the whole question. Sorry, I just got to mention this,
please.
Because as soon as they're done, they get out of the White House, everything's over, and the reporters start asking Emily, the girl, some questions. And the first thing to ask her isn't like, how was your experience? Does it feel great to be alive? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It was, what do you think about so many people seeing your video on YouTube?
Your video blog.
And of course, she had made a point earlier that nobody calls it a blog.
It's her YouTube channel.
Whatever. It's just stupid.
By the way, that whole scene,
writing.
That whole scene right out of the end of Die Hard.
Ugh.
Everything.
Why would that be your first question as a reporter? Oh, yeah, what do you think about so many people seeing your video? Yeah. Like, how would she even know? She would have been in the lockdown in the friggin' White House.
Unless the reporter was Billy Bush. And that wasn't Billy Bush.
Just bad writing.
Bad writing. You're right.
Sorry. All right. We've diverged and talked. I don't even know how. I don't know what else to talk about.
Yeah, I think
some of the effects were shitty. We could talk about that.
You had shitty effects in the first scenes when the president's helicopter was flying. Immediately
really
it was fake.
Looked bad. Anyway. That's not
it's sort of a bummer that they blew up the West Wing set, isn't it? Because it sure looked like it.
Yeah.
So I suppose we've been talking about this now for a good 20-something minutes. We should relent and give this thing a score.
The Scope score is... 1 star.
So 1 star for White House Down. Our march through summer mediocrity continues.
I really wanted to unabated. Like this movie, too. I was going in with
hope,
optimism. My glass was not half full. It was 3/4 full. And I was just...
And it started promising.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this might not be so bad.
And then it took your glass of half full or 3/4 water.
Channing Tatum crashed through it.
And then he got a bad case of diarrhea and plopped it right into your cup.
Wow.
And then smashed it and then threw the smashings on you.
I'm putting it on eBay, though.
You should put it on your YouTube channel.
I put a video of Channing Tatum crapping in my broken water glass.
Well, I'm waving a flag in the background in a very dramatic way.
Calling off the airstrike, because that's what it would take to cleanse my palate.
So there we go, Jared. This was an epic review.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read the Wikipedia write-up on this movie, because I think it's got to be 10 to 15,000 words long, because there's so much happens in this movie. You have to see it twice just to take it all in.
I feel like this one is probably going to get decent reviews, though.
And
I think
so?
I just feel like a certain style of reviewer is probably going to just think that they're going to take that. Oh, it's harmless popcorn.
It's
summer
die
stuff.
Hard. Oh yeah, that's a terrible
which
take.
I don't think I'm tired of that as an excuse for movies, because we should have better movies.
Yeah,
and this
make it good, and then it could be popcorn fair as well.
Disappointing.
So let's wrap this absolutely fantastic and inspiring Scope Summer Movie Slam entry.
We're gonna see more gems eventually. I know it's gonna happen.
We could be in trouble. The rest of this summer, we could be in trouble.
I don't know. I've got high hopes for a few of them.
Okay. Well, you don't tell me what
Wolverine's those are. Still coming.
Okay, we got Wolverine.
Pacific Rim is still coming.
Oh, I totally forgot about it.
We got a good slate of movies in August. I'm hopeful for those.
Okay. Well, we'll cleanse our palates. We'll swish our mouths out with Listerine. Mm-hmm. Take a cold but clean shower. And we'll move on. So, for Jared, this is Shane.
This is Jared.
Saying arrivederci, bitches. Call off the airstrike.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.